B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
One question. Is it too late to change the name?
Nerd Radio starts now.
That's right. It's another week in Nerd Radio, wherever you're getting your podcasts. It's part of the B-Pod Studios Network and on your social media, Nerd Radio 101. My name is Chuck Bean, joined as usual by the usual suspects, Al Beck.
That's right.
And James.
Hello.
Welcome to another week in Nerd Radio, fellas.
Thanks, man.
Well, I said before, I'll go live on Twitch Wednesday afternoons at about 11:30. And I said before that we were talking about Paul Rudd. And so I'll just kick it off with this. Did you guys see over the weekend what Paul Rudd dressed up as for Halloween?
I did see what he dressed up as.
I did not.
He's walking his daughter down the street, and some, you know, TMZ dude took a picture
just
of him.
See, Al can guess.
Yeah, okay. So his daughter is dressed as the Wasp from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay.
Who would you imagine Paul Rudd might dress up as?
Well, the obvious answer would be Ant-Man.
Of course.
Right.
But if you've ever seen Paul Rudd on Conan O'Brien, you know he will not go for the obvious answer.
No, he was on Conan recently and played that. What is that clip from?
Do you remember? I can't remember what it is. It's some 80s movie with a really goofy alien-looking thing.
Mac and Me?
That's what it is. Mac and Me.
He always plays the Mac and Me clip.
Every single time he plays the Mac and Me clip, instead of the clip for whatever movie or show he's promoting.
Yes.
And every time he's like, no, I brought the clip for real.
So it's kind of like Jimmy Kimmel with Sorry, Matt Damon, we didn't get to you.
Exactly. Okay.
It's a recurring bit. I don't think Paul Rudd has ever played an actual clip on Conan's show, whether it was Late Night, The Tonight Show, or his current Conan show. And he was just on, I think, last week. And
yeah,
same thing. Mac and Me.
He's got that Netflix show where there's two of him. He's cloned and there's two of them. So they adjusted the Mac and Me clip and put a second one of that little alien in at the end.
Perfect.
And it's great. It's a great bit because every time he does it, Conan is so upset.
Yeah.
He's like, it got done and he took a breath and he's like, you want to play the real clip, you son of a bitch?
Yep.
That's got to be a gag, right? Conan's got to be in on it. He can't really be upset. Like, he's got to know what's going to happen. So he's playing it up for TV, right?
They've done it. I mean, he laughs. He laughs at it every time.
Okay. It's probably Conan's idea.
I'm sure.
But even the audience at this point, he's been doing this for so long that even I'm sitting at home watching, like, here comes that Mac
here
and
comes.
Me. Here it comes. And then they're finally like, yeah, I brought a real clip. I'm like, he's going to play it again. And the audience, even though we all know the joke, no one is disappointed.
Nope.
Like, as soon
people
as they
cheer now.
Yes.
People cheer when the Mac and Me clip starts.
As he's setting up the clip on the show, the audience is laughing because they know what's about to happen.
Yep.
You know? But I don't know. The obvious answer would be Ant-Man. Of course, Paul Rudd did not go Ant-Man. Was it someone from the MCU?
It is not.
It is not.
No.
Okay. Was it from someone from the DC universe?
It was not.
Okay. All right.
Ooh, that's a really good guess. If you'd go totally opposite superhero universe, that's a good guess, Al.
He dressed as Weird Al Yankovic.
Didn't see that coming, did you?
No.
He had
the
wig. He had a tiny accordion he was carrying around while he was holding his daughter's hand with the other hand.
Yeah.
He had a Hawaiian shirt and a fake mustache.
It was just an awesome Weird Al costume.
I'm really
kind of jealous. Like, it's like an actual shirt he took out of Weird Al's closet.
It was a really good Weird Al.
I
saw a video of somebody at a convention, and I wish I'd have seen it weeks ago because I would have done this costume at YumaCon this weekend. He was dressed as the GIF of John Travolta from Pulp Fiction, where he's just looking around, and it just he had a little thing hanging off his thing that said GIF, and it hit the little thing.
I think I saw somebody like, posted that.
I think you shared that, didn't you?
That's brilliant. I love that GIF.
That must be
so
where
hell
I saw
it. I shared it.
I'm pretty sure that's where I saw it was you.
Right.
But, you kind of misdirected me a little bit by telling me that his daughter was dressed up as the Wasp.
Oh, yeah. No,
which is a cool detail, the fact that she's, you know, he's Ant-Man and his daughter's dressed up as Wasp.
Sure.
I'm sure
she was thinking, like, my dad got to be Ant-Man, so I'm going to be the Wasp and dad will be Ant-Man. It'd be really cool. And then dad comes out in his Hawaiian shirt.
Now, do you think his daughter's disappointed? Like, she's probably thinking, this is a great moment. I can be the Wasp.
I can be
Ant-Man. We're going to go trick-or-treating. It's going to be the coolest moment ever.
She looks like she's only like 6 or 8 years old or something like that. So like she's got to be, there had to be that moment of like, dad.
Yeah. So is it like just annoying? Like it's like, oh, another one of those dad jokes. Like, dad.
Yeah.
You know, it's like just a annoying dad moment.
Imagine Paul Rudd as your dad.
Actually, that'd be pretty cool.
It would be cool.
I mean, it'd be pretty cool.
I can't imagine, but it would be cool. But I also liked that we played the guessing game. Like, I ever would have guessed Weird Al.
It's true.
That was the whole point. I wanted to see what kind of weird crap you'd come up with.
Well, the last time we did this, he had seen the thing ahead of time, so he guessed correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the title belt or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right, so as I mentioned to the Twitch streamers, we've got some serious nerd news to cover this week, and then we got some fun stuff. Where do you guys want to start? You want to start with the fun stuff?
We got to go by. You got to tell us about the camera trick first. You were talking about a Paul Rudd camera trick.
Oh, the Paul Rudd camera trick.
So we talk about his costume. You got to let everybody know what the camera trick is.
All right. So Paul Rudd did an interview somewhere. Let me see if I can look this up on my phone. And he's got this camera trick that I'm sure James is going to be using for the rest of eternity on all his selfies and whatever he takes photos.
It's a nude man illusion. Yeah.
Yeah, where you can take your finger and kind of fold it. If you want to get a look at this, you can fold it over where the camera is like this.
Okay.
But if you do it close enough, then it looks like there's a naked man.
So it's like you look between someone's legs.
Yeah, like you're looking in between someone's legs.
I get it.
Let me see.
And it was awkward for everyone.
Absolutely.
Speak for yourself, Al.
That's every photo that James is going to take from now on.
Same room as
I'll
you.
Try here. All right.
I got all things that are good.
Oh, okay, I see. So there's one of the pictures.
Okay, let me take a look at this.
He took like his where his thumb and his hand are and put them right on the bottom of the camera, so it looks like there's some naked guy that's legs up in front of you.
Okay, kind of. That one I'm not really buying as much, but
right.
It looked more like there was a nude man standing in front of you when you put your fingers in front of the camera here.
So you do it better than Paul Rudd.
Yeah. I didn't even practice.
There you go.
You look better naked than Paul Rudd.
I don't know about that. I don't know. But yeah, so we've got the...
In my imagination, at least.
So there's some stuff going on. We talked a couple of weeks ago about what's going on with Blizzard. This week, I mentioned this weekend is YumaCon here in the Motor City's big anime convention. YumaCon always falls on the exact same weekend as BlizzCon, which is Blizzard's big convention where they'll have their tournaments. There's a bunch of cosplay going on.
And protests.
Yeah, well, they'll announce what new games you can look forward to in the next year, or what updates you can look forward to games and whatnot. And this year, sounds like there's going to be some protests because of what happened a couple of months ago. To recap, there was a dude that was playing the Hearthstone game, which is their card game, and won the tournament. And then when they interviewed him afterwards, took that opportunity to pledge his support to... Uh-oh.
Oh, it's Mr. Black.
Steve Black walking in the studio.
Oh, it is.
Oh, look at that.
It is.
You have the camera on.
Yeah.
I think it is. It might be.
Yeah, it's on you now. There you go. Yeah. I'm going to give him a special birthday greeting.
Oh, my God.
Look at that.
Beautiful.
Yeah, now go throw up, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Excellent.
Got a birthday kiss. Look at that.
Okay. Yeah.
Wonderful. So protest, huh?
Yeah, so protest. I just saw Robbie posted something in the chat, too.
Oh, no!
I'll get to you, Robbie. Don't worry. So the streamer took that opportunity to pledge his support towards the protesters in Hong Kong against the government, at which point Blizzard took his prize money away and banned him from tournaments for a year. There was a huge outcry, and after about a week, they reinstated him and gave him... But restated that they do not want people on their live broadcasts to take political stances. That's not what they're there for. They're there to advertise their product, apparently, and stuff like that. Part of the reason they do that is because they have invested interests in Hong Kong as well. So there may be some protests at BlizzCon this week. One of the things I saw is that Blizzard lost a sponsor for a lot of their stuff, Mitsubishi. Pulled out of over all of this. They even last week, I didn't mention it, but some of the people in Congress, it had reached all the way to there, and they were telling Blizzard, don't you censor people in America for talking about
the old people in Congress even know what Blizzard is? Understand how it works?
I don't think so.
Come on.
They're just jumping on.
Have you seen them interview Zuckerberg about Facebook? Some of the questions that they ask that guy? Come on. People in Congress don't know damn crap about anything that's cool.
Damn crap about anything.
I know. I'm trying not to swear.
That's what DMX is here for.
Oh, my God.
I know he's here, but I made you pull him out last week. So right. I was trying to watch my language.
So,
and also not to take a political stance.
Yeah, Robbie in the chat saying AOC was one of the ones on that letter. So she's young enough. She knows what Twitch is.
Okay. She's the real angry lady, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. But what we can expect from BlizzCon this week, or at least rumored what we can expect, is the announcements of Overwatch 2. And hopefully Diablo 4.
Wow.
So I don't know how I feel about that. But I have to say, I have been playing a lot of Overwatch this week.
Have you?
We'll do a kind of a what have you been playing? Because I know you got some games last weekend too.
Yeah, I did.
So we'll talk about that going forward.
I'm not playing anything. Spoiler alert.
All right, then I won't. Then I won't ask you for sure.
Well, there you go. There's DMX.
The other serious news I wanted to cover this week is, and this has happened in the last 24 hours. So there's a website that I actually get a lot of my gaming news from, Kotaku, which is part of like the
Pornhub.
No, not Pornhub.
Kotaku sounds delicious, though.
Yeah, well, and they had this ad over the weekend, I believe, that was an autoplay ad that had sound on it that would just automatically, you know, go up. And their parent company put this ad on all the sites, Deadspin and Gizmodo and whatever.
Well, Deadspin.
Yeah, exactly. So they put something up saying, like a tweet or a post on Kotaku saying, hey, if you don't like this ad, this is our parent company. They're the ones that put it up. You know, ooh, tweet them, email them, or whatever like that. And that particular post got taken off the site.
Yeah.
Very, very quickly. And it wasn't taken off by the Kotaku people. And then all day yesterday, in fact, I think it was the head editor of Deadspin, which is the sports version of that particular, mm-hmm, yeah, you know, cluster, he got fired for, you know, basically going against corporate over this ad. And there were a whole bunch of people on Twitter that were super like, oh, the Kotaku guys are getting fired, ha. Huh? And like, as of today, they are not fired. They were reprimanded. They were not fired. They have the union, too. So that's, you know, something will happen, but that, you're not.
Do
just
we know
gonna...
what the content of this ad is, or are you alluding? Are you building up to reveal?
I am not. No, I can look it up. But it was an ad for appearing on a website published today. Highlighted ads.
Like, yeah, testosterone pills, butt plugs, like what?
I think it was an ad just asking for, like, you know, hey, give us your information, or give us your what you think of our sites, like, okay, your kind of thing. But it was annoying because it had sound and it would autoplay as soon as
that
you
is
to
pretty
every single page.
Pretty obnoxious.
Yeah,
I do hate that.
Yeah, in this
I also
day and age,
you hate. I mean, the God, ads sometimes get out of hand. I'll tell you, man, it has the opposite effect on me, because sometimes you'll also have where it takes up half of the screen and you can't scroll past it.
Yeah, that's the worst.
You know, and you can't, and I'll take note. I'm like, well, I'm never buying that thing that is in front of my face. It's a little too pushy.
You mean like a yearly subscription to Wall Street Journal?
Yeah. Right.
I only encounter it when I'm doing stuff for the morning show, because Dave has like a ad blocker installed. And somehow it's on my Google Chrome, like it's stuck there. So if I'm like browsing stuff on my computer at work, if I'm browsing stuff on my computer at home, I always get booted because I have an ad blocker on until I go in and try to unblock all the ads. It's a pain in the ass. But it's always like a Wall Street Journal, or it's some sort of a Chicago Times. Like, it's a newsworthy site
that
relies on subscriptions. That's always like popping up. You have an ad blocker here type deals, right?
Do we each have like a what's the worst ad? Because I feel like those are the worst ones that just like suddenly scroll down half the page and take up only half the page. So like I can still kind of see the thing I was reading, but I can see the part I wasn't to yet.
Well, that is the worst one to me. I mean, the automatically playing something with sound is annoying too, but with the one where it takes up half the screen and then a quarter of the screen that's left is the website's header.
Yeah.
So you only have a quarter of the screen that's your content that you're trying to look at, and you can't see it because of an ad. To me, I understand, obviously, I mean, we work in media, and there is value to advertising. We make money off of advertising. We need to advertise.
Nerd Radio doesn't make any money off advertising.
Nerd Radio has made nothing but shit since we started the stupid thing. But
no way.
No way.
No way. What is this garbage?
I completely lost my train of thought. Look, we understand that advertising is necessary, but when you completely take up the entire thing and I can't, I can't consume the thing I was there for, then you're kind of doing yourself a disservice because now you've annoyed me.
Yeah, right.
At least that's how my brain works.
Or like YouTube ads that, you know, you get like the same YouTube ad, or Hulu's bad for that too. You get the same ad over and over and over again. I stopped watching that. What was that thing that Nate was super into?
Pluto.
That had all
Pluto.
The, yeah, Pluto.tv. I watched one thing on Pluto, and after I saw the same ad 7 times, I was like, I'm done. I'm done.
Yeah.
So the reason I wanted to bring it up, though, is because people on Twitter were being super dicks about, like, ah, you got fired, something like that. And I just felt like if you're somebody that goes on Twitter and makes fun of somebody for getting fired, like, you're the problem. Like, I hate Baron Corbin, but I'm not going to make I'm not going to be like, ha, you got fired if he were to get fired tomorrow.
Oh, I totally would. Baron Corbin, yeah. I'll make fun of him, but that, to me, it's all a work anyways.
Dude, people also want you to get fired for some of the dumbest things.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've had
once again, working in radio, we have experience in this.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, I used to do that request show, that heavy metal request show.
Mm-hmm.
For years I did that, and if someone didn't like the requests that were being played, they're like tweeting at the radio station that I need to lose my job. Like really?
Yeah.
You would have picked a different Lamb of God song. Therefore, I shouldn't be able to feed myself anymore. Like, that's how quickly people are like, just fire him.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Mm. Well, that's pretty much the serious stuff I had to get. So it's going to be a fun show from here on out.
So you think I'm depressed now? God damn.
All right, we're going to come back with a little bit more Nerd Radio here. I've got a story about the most expensive Pokemon card ever.
Ever.
Ever. And we got some WWE news, too.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Pause that game. It's time for more Nerd Radio.
I don't want to see it.
All right, let's try that again. Mm. Welcome back to Nerd Radio on your social media at Nerd Radio 101, as well as wherever you're getting your podcast. What are you slouching over there for, Al?
I'm not slouching. All right.
No, the Twitch stream is like, I don't know, like 10 seconds behind, so I just look up, and it's got the full room stuff, and you're like...
Oh.
Slouching over. Are you
Zodine on heroin?
You passing out over there?
I'm top heavy. What do you want from me?
Al, I got a comic for you.
All right.
Let me toss this
I'm
across.
I'm not going to read it.
Let me toss this across.
Oh, we're getting yelled at. Here we go. We're in trouble.
I just need to let you guys know I need to clean up afterwards. All right. Last week, we had a bunch of wrappers of Almond Joys over at Mike Position One.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't appreciate it. And happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Who's eating Almond Joys and not sharing with me? I'm kind of pissed now.
I think he's implying that I had them over here. I am lactose intolerant, you insensitive bitch. I can't eat chocolate. I'm like a dog. I could die.
I'm like a dog. I could die.
I said that when he's back. I thought I got away with it because he was walking back. I thought he didn't hear.
Waited the door closed.
Quick in that. There's the delay on the stream. We're always listening.
Always listening. We're being monitored.
Checkpoint, big brother.
We're absolutely being monitored.
Oh, they should, though. We need it. Let's be honest.
Yeah, they need to know what content is going on over here. Here, Al, catch.
Uh-oh. Whoa.
Dude, Pepsi Man standing up for Nerd Radio Justice.
There. I appreciate it.
I have nothing in front of me. I have no idea what's being said. I told one of them to F himself, and I really didn't mean it. I was just having fun.
All right.
Sorry, Jay Moore. I was just kidding.
Al gets his kicks by telling strange people on the internet to F off.
Right.
I know.
All right. So if you're in the comic stores the last couple of months, you may have seen this comic. It's by an independent company, and it's called Second Coming. And it's...
look at that, James.
Can't see. Yeah, you got it in front of the screen.
Yeah, you got it. There's a bunch of monitors.
Well, forget it.
Nice job.
I tried.
Test 1983 says no show today, just anarchy. That's usually the show anyways.
Yeah. What am I looking at here?
All right, so it's an
independent, my God.
It's an independent comic called Second Coming. If you were a fan of Preacher, whether it's the show or the comic, you might enjoy this comic book because the basis of it is that the Son of God comes back to earth.
Jesus
comes back to earth.
Oh my gosh.
God sends him back.
Jesus, oh my gosh.
God sends him back to earth to learn how to be
a millennial,
a better Jesus, essentially, from the greatest superhero on earth, which is an analog of Superman. I think he's called the Sun God or something like that.
Okay.
And
I like the concept.
Yeah, this dude is kind of like, he's a Superman analog, but he's kind of a jerk. He's kind of like the boys, the superheroes and the boys. And God respects the sun god guy, but like thinks Jesus is too soft. So he sends him back to Earth too. And it's a fun book to see the dichotomy of the two. Like, Jesus is actually showing Sun God that, like, maybe he shouldn't just run up and punch people in the face. Maybe he should attack the problem that is making these people villains instead of, you know, just taking care of things the way he does. At the same time, Jesus is there almost in every every issue of this particular thing. Somebody will mention something from the New Testament to Jesus. Like, well, it says in Mark 14:37, he's like, who's Mark? I didn't know any Mark. So there's an ongoing joke that, like, the New Testament was written by a bunch of people who didn't actually know Jesus. As a fan of Preacher Al, I thought, like, I need to bring this in.
Yeah, as I was flipping through the pages, I mean, first of all, the artwork is good.
Yeah.
But some of the image were striking, too. Like you said, as a fan of Preacher.
Right. And, of course, I encourage you guys to check out your local comic shop, comicshoplocator.com. When you do that. James, you bought some games over the weekend.
I did, yeah. I got a couple games, new games to add to the collection, The Outer Worlds and the dreaded WWE 2K20.
Dreaded? Why is it dreaded?
Oh, it's getting lit up online.
Yeah, the reviews are horrendous.
Pretty much just Nate,
that's the game Nate came in here a couple weeks ago and told us about.
Oh, that's right.
That was just absolute great. You know what's funny is on our website right now we're giving away copies of WWE 2K20.
Yeah, so anybody wants to enter to win a copy of a piece of crap wrestling game,
right?
Please go to WRIF.com.
And I shared that link on social media.
You did.
I saw it,
and I'm like, that's funny. But you know what? You win it from us. You didn't pay for it. And they're going to patch it.
Yeah, you drop $60 on it like I did. Yeah, I know there's
they're
gonna plans
patch
in the
it in
works
like
to,
2 months.
To kind of fix it. I'm hoping I want it to be a total and complete utter show for me to sit down and do a review for Casual Gamer.
Right.
Like, I want there to be bad things going on in it. I'm going to have a couple of semi-professional local wrestlers come in and review the game with me for the next Casual Gamer. So I want there to be problems. That way we have material to tear it apart.
Yeah.
So I haven't installed it. I haven't done anything with it other than pick it up and put it down on my desk.
Well, that was my question because you posted on Friday that you'd pick both those games up. Had you gotten a chance to check either of them out?
I've been able to play The Outer Worlds a little bit, but I've been having like a killer migraine or something. I don't know. I'm getting this weird thing now where I get like these sharp, like jolting pains like behind my eyeball.
Is it just when you play The Outer Worlds?
No, it's like, I mean, maybe it's from looking at screens or whatever. Maybe it's the change in the weather.
Maybe.
I don't know what it is. But I know sinus medication and Tylenol and that kind of stuff's not really helping me. So it's like trying to focus on a video game has been rough. But I've put in maybe an hour or so into The Outer Worlds and I'm digging it. Like, it seems like it's going to be a lot of fun. I kind of like some of the things that they're alluding to in the game. I don't want to give anything away.
Sure.
But it's essentially like Fallout in space. And I know it's done by the same people who did Fallout New Vegas, which I know a lot of people who have given that game like a bunch of raving reviews.
I never
got into Fallout New Vegas.
Everybody I've seen on social media last week seems super stoked about it. I know that I think it was actually Robbie last week that asked me if I was going to be picking it up, and I was like, I don't know. But then as the weekend drew closer, I was like, man, I should ask him what he's playing it on, because then maybe, like, is there multiplayer? Can you play with other people?
No, I think it's mostly strictly just like one player. It's all campaign, but it's like open world. You go do whatever the hell you want. You know, you kind of decide if you're going to be a good guy, a bad guy, a neutral person.
Right.
I've already had, the option come up to where I can attack some of the, like, pseudo-police type characters in the game.
Yeah.
But essentially, so the game is, they're colonizing some other planet, and it's a 10-year journey to get from Earth to this new planet, but they're like, we knock your ass out, you fall asleep, so 10 years would actually feel like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So you are a part of a ship that got kind of, like, derailed from your destination.
From the planet you were supposed to go to.
Correct.
And you're on this foreign world that you don't know anything about.
Yeah, well, what happens is there's like a mad scientist guy who's wanted by this big corporation or these people that run this other planet, and he finds this ship that's been like lost, and he can only bring back one person. He's got enough like life juice to bring back one person, and the person he brings back is the character that you create.
Okay.
So then you come back, and he's like, I need you to help me get more life juice. That's not what it's called. I'm making up
sure, yeah.
That would
dumb
be cool
terms
if it was
for
called
it.
Life juice.
He's like, I need more life juice. Go here. And then he drops you onto a planet. He's trying to set you up with somebody who's going to help you kind of show you the ropes, but that you find out something bad about that person, and then you kind of start the journey on your own with this mad scientist like in your ear, like, you got to go do this. You got to go do that. Find this for me. So
I don't know. I'm interested in it, but I also feel like it's going to be one of those games that just feels way too large.
It's probably going to be big, but I like them big.
Because every Fallout game I've ever tried, I play for about an hour, and I'm like, there's too much game. I'm never going to get through all of this.
Feels too
clearly,
large, huh?
He's clearly the size queen.
I say that, but I just hit the 30-hour mark in Final Fantasy 15. So Amy was like, "You must like this game. You've been playing it for like 26 hours. I'm like, I still don't know. It's just something to do.
See, 30 hours. You put 30 hours in and you don't know if you like it or not?
I don't know.
That's like, if I put 30 hours into anything, it better be fun, or I better enjoy it, or I better be getting some sort of a benefit out of it, you know?
I barely put 3 hours into a game that I love.
Yeah. Like I said, at this point, it's like, it's something to do for an hour.
Now it's just become like a habit. Like, yeah. Now you just developed the Final Fantasy habit.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, maybe
you're definitely not selling
habit.
Me on Final Fantasy 15.
I can't. I can't sell it to anybody.
I'm glad I bought it for whatever it was, $10 or
right.
whatever.
Yeah, that's the thing going back to WWE 2K22 is that apparently Sony is giving refunds now if you bought it digitally.
Oh, really?
For the PlayStation. If you are unhappy with what a piece of junk it is, Sony will refund you fully for it.
Hmm. I mean, there's been so many things going around the internet that are hilarious, little glitches that are taking place in the game. You know, there's even a scene that Chuck's fiance had shared where it looks like Charlotte Flair's got another wrestler in a finishing move, and then like the referee keeps like kind of morphing around the ring, and next thing you know, Charlotte Flair's mouth kind of lines up right where the referee's jump would be, and it looks like the referee is getting a very acrobatic BJ in the middle of the ring.
He was twitching and stuff.
Yeah. Like,
it looked very inappropriate.
He looked like he was enjoying himself.
It did. While we're talking about wrestling, I just saw this morning. So this we're a couple days away from WWE Crown Jewel, their Saudi Arabia event that most people think is garbage.
Yeah.
But this year, they're actually going to be having the first ever women's match in Saudi Arabia.
There's going to be a match for sure.
They announced that the first ever women's match will take place. It's going to be Natalya versus Lacey Evans. So not two of the more notable, women's wrestlers.
Also a match we've seen probably a dozen times.
Yeah.
Pay-per-views and Raws and SmackDowns and all that. We've already seen this match about over a dozen times.
Right. But it is historic that, you know, they have finally, it's taken them a couple events to finally get the Saudi Arabian government.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the crowd reacts, because I don't think that's something they typically would see women doing, putting on a display like that in a public forum.
Right. Like, you know, obviously they're doing this event over in Saudi Arabia. They're getting a whole bunch of money to do the event, but they must have television over there. So unless they just don't show any of the women's wrestling, like, it feels like it's the kind of thing, like you said, like they've seen it on TV before, so they know it exists. They just, because of their government and
the
rules over there, culture, that it's not allowed to happen there.
Right. Do we know, is this strictly just because of the fact that it's women performing and that's kind of frowned upon in that society, or does it have anything to do with their outfits? Is it because it's kind
that
of
has
revealing
to do with
and exposed too much skin?
I know that a couple of years ago it was another country over there. They did an event where it was Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss wrestled over there, and it was the first time that they had wrestled, that women had wrestled, in that country, and they had to wear an outfit that, like, was just neck to toe.
Oh, okay, so that'd be something interesting
them.
To see, too. So when this match does happen,
right, what is
Lacey Evans still wearing, like, her top with her, her midriff open, her mom kind of bottoms that she wears?
Or is she going to be, completely covered?
Yeah, and is Natalya going to be wearing, like, her jumpsuit that's real see-through on the sides?
Right.
She's actually exposed herself a couple times if you watch the Divas show like I do.
Yeah.
You know what's happened.
They're really going to have to do something as far as the stories that are going on. Like, The Fiend is going to face Seth Rollins again. Like, unless The Fiend wins, I don't care.
Well, I hope it's going to be an actual match. I don't think there's going to be a winner determined. I think there'll be some sort of a weird ending, and now The Fiend and Seth Rollins are going to go their separate ways because they're on separate brands. Rollins being on Raw, Fiend being on SmackDown. That whole thing is going to be done and over with. I think they're doing it just because of the hype behind The Fiend,
right?
And they probably use that as a way to pull out more of those Saudi Arabian dollars.
Oh, I'm sure.
Sultans or princes or whatever those guys are, just coughing up the big bucks.
Otherwise, though, it's definitely an event that I'm not, I got stuff to do Friday.
Yeah, I mean, I probably won't watch it live, and it is Halloween, so I don't really have a lot going on. I plan on doing like a stream on my Twitch channel, but I'm not going to be able to do that because I'm missing some pieces to my Halloween costume, so it's not going to happen, but I still have plenty of other things to do to occupy my time, and I'll probably end up watching the Saudi Arabia pay-per-view over the weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the beauty of the network.
Is that you can watch stuff, something like NXT or something like that.
I would have loved to have had that when I was watching wrestling.
I know, right? You know, instead of paying $40 or $60 for a pay per view, you just pay $10 a month and you can get all that stuff.
I think when I was into wrestling, I only saw two pay per views. One of them was, and I think they were from the same year. It was a Royal Rumble, and I think my buddy's dad had bought it for him, and he, you know, copied the tape, and I got to watch it after the fact.
Right.
And then he actually invited us over, and there was like four of us who watched the WrestleMania that year. And that was it. That was the only pay-per-views I ever saw when I was watching.
Well, yeah, when they went to like monthly, I probably shouldn't mention this on the air, but I found one of those, I ordered one of those boxes on the internet that is like would descramble stuff because like, no, I don't want to pay for, you know, the $30, $40 for the September pay-per-view that doesn't really matter. But right. I'd like to know what happened. But WrestleMania, hell yeah, I'll pay $50 for WrestleMania. That's the big one.
We all got together and pooled our money together. So there'd be like four or five of us. We'd all throw in $10 and we'd order it. We'd have to find someone's house whose parent would allow us to order it.
Right.
Yeah.
Then we'd get together and throw some money in. Like I'd probably end up going in and dropping $20 and we'd get the pay-per-view.
Order a couple
get
pizzas.
Get some pizza. Right. You know, hang out and, you know, just watch wrestling. So.
I mentioned earlier too that I've been quite busy over the weekend. I kind of hit my limit of the games that have events for around a holiday. Like it's, you know, obviously Halloween is this week, and Overwatch for the last couple of years does an event for Halloween, and I like the event because they give you a four people versus the computer.
So this is like a special match that you play. Yes. You can play as many times as you want type deal.
Yeah.
To unlock different Halloween-themed goodies.
Exactly.
Skins,
and the way,
emotes, and that type
of
stuff.
Yeah, in Overwatch, every week you can get a loot box for every three games you win, up to, you know, like three loot boxes. So I like to do that during these seasonal things because I don't have to play against other people and lose. I can just play against the computer with three other people and just beat it down and, all right, cool, we're a team, yay. But that... coupled with Magic the Gathering Arena, which constantly has daily quests that you can like, hey, summon 20 creatures or, you know, play at least 20 red or green cards or something like
that.
Is
that a lot? Like 20 creatures seems like a lot, but I think in an
average game, you're probably going to get maybe 10.
Okay, so you're making you play probably
making you play like two, maybe three games in order to get these things done. On the Switch... for Tetris 99 over the weekend, there was a Luigi's Mansion event where you had to win.
Because that game comes out tomorrow.
Right.
On Halloween.
You had to win a couple of games to get up to 100 points in order to get a skin for your Tetris 99 game or something like that. And I realized, because I have Rocket League on the Switch, they have a Halloween event going on where you can get these Stranger Things stuff for your car.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, like, all weekend, like... I would play Final Fantasy 15 for about, I don't know, 30, 45 minutes, and then spend the next 4 hours playing all these other games to knock down the daily quests.
That's how they get you. Well, that's how they get you to come back. That's how they pump their numbers up with the daily quests
and
stuff, because they got everybody coming in every day to try to do your daily quests. Like, I try to complete my daily quests on Realm Royale every day.
Right.
Because it helps level your character up. You get more... you get more experience when
you
complete a daily quest.
You get, you know, you get credits or you get items, in-game items and stuff like that. I'm just like... Jesus Christ. I'll be really happy when Halloween's over and I can at least put two of these games down.
Right.
Because holy moly.
Well, you've got another 120 hours of Final Fantasy ahead of you.
I do. I do. I looked it up and I'm only at like, I'm at chapter 6 or 7 and there's 14 chapters.
All right.
Well, so, halfway through.
Yeah.
Now, is there a game that you can recall that you thought was the coolest in terms of like a festive like event?
Oh, when those festive events happen? Like I said, I like the Overwatch events when they make it player versus environment. And that's one of the things about Overwatch 2 that there is rumors that there's just going to be a player versus environment mode.
You see, my favorite, I used to play this game on my phone, The Simpsons Tapped Out.
Okay.
Which is like a little, just a total time killer type game.
Yeah.
You'd build like a Simpsons, like Sim City type thing. Mm. But you'd have to send Homer to the nuclear factory to work for 9 hours.
Right. Abu would have to go to the,
the Quickie Mart.
Quickie Mart.
So then as they do that, you're generating coins or whatever. But every holiday, so like Halloween, they'd have Halloween-type characters you could unlock if you got so many, you know, candies or whatever. And you got candies by having your characters do these things. And I was obsessed with that Simpsons Tapped Out game forever. Like, I don't even know how I got pulled away from it.
Right.
It was probably some sort of issue with my phone where I lost everything. But, like, that's the coolest thing I could recall because you'd get these cool, like, characters from The Simpsons that would only be around, like Halloween time.
Right.
You know, or you don't like get certain, you'd get like Christmas Homer, or you get like Barney as Mr. Plow.
Right.
You could unlock those little characters that you just send to go do different jobs.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I think my favorite is probably, I was playing a similar game that was called Avengers Academy.
Oh, okay. I remember that one, yeah.
Yeah, and it was all the Avengers characters, but they were going to, you know, a high school. So you
almost
have to,
in a sense, they're learning to become the Avengers.
Right, okay. Exactly. So you had like a teenage Tony Stark and a teenage Hulk and stuff. And one of the reasons I got super into it is because teenage Hulk was one of the last ones you could unlock, but they all had voice work. And Black Widow was voiced by Alison Brie, which was kind of cool from Community. Cool.
Yeah.
And the Hulk was voiced by John Cena.
What?
Yes.
What? John Cena was Teenage Hulk?
Yes.
Damn.
I am sad to report, James, this game no longer exists,
of course.
Oh, what a tease. Oh, poor James.
But during, you know, the time that, like, the Avengers movies were coming out and stuff like that, every time, like, when the first Guardians movie came out, they had a Guardians of the Galaxy event for that month where, like, you would come in every day and do your daily quests, and you could unlock Rocket and, you know, Star-Lord and everybody, which was super fun.
Very cool.
So that was probably my favorite.
Could you imagine a Teenage Hulk? Like, just knowing what I would get up to as a teenager, like, I'd be constantly pounding it away in the bathroom.
I seem to recall him yelling about homework. He didn't like homework.
Whatever.
Hulk smash homework.
They just had to do that to make it safe for kids.
Right.
You know what Hulk's really doing. Hulk smash.
Hulk is smashing, all right.
Hulk smash. Wiener.
That reminds me of some... Okay. So that reminds me of some comic book news that I wanted to tell you about because I wanted to get your opinion on it because I feel like... It's going to be entertaining. So we'll talk about it next. Coming up after the break, it's Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The name's Newcomb, Duke Newcomb. You know I've got balls of steel. I wouldn't be saying that unless I was here on Nerd Radio because they've got balls of steel too. Hail to the Nerd Radio, baby.
All right, we're back with some more Nerd Radio on the podcast page, WRAF.com.
Did
well,
what needed to do with the memory card? I'm sorry.
Did you look at the memory card? Yeah, it's over.
I did.
I apologize.
Where are we in Chicago, Al?
Boston.
Where are we in Boston, Al?
Rock.
Where are we in Memphis?
No,
well, we are on Apple Podcasts, Google Play. No, rock929rocks.com in Boston.
Where are we in Wichita, James?
You can watch the stream in Wichita Wednesday afternoons around 11:30. I guess that would still be morning, but
yep.
It's Checkpoint XP's Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/checkpointXP.
I have no idea where we are anywhere.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Al's really good at this game, so let's do some Prices Right. The most expensive Pokemon card in existence went up for auction last week. What do you think it cost?
Most expensive?
It's the most expensive Pokemon card in existence. This particular card is the most expensive. Do you want a little more information?
Yeah, can you tell them who the character is?
It won't matter. Pikachu. I don't even know his name. Pikachu is the only Pokemon I know.
It's called Pikachu Illustrator. It was a promo given out to winners of a comic contest held in Japan in 1997 and 1998. There were 39 of these cards awarded. It is believed there are only 10 left in existence today.
Okay, so you really want me to guess? Because here's the thing. I'm not actually good at this game. I'm only good at this game if I go second so I can bet $1.
Do you want me to hit James first?
Well, then my guess is $1. You can just go $2. No, I'll just say
$23,000. $23,000.
Yeah, and that's a total stab in the dark. I know nothing about
Pokemon. All right, James, what are you thinking?
Okay, so it's the most expensive Pokemon card in existence.
In existence.
It's a promo, so it used to be a freebie. You got it. Somebody just gave it to you because you pre-ordered something.
You won a comic contest that was only happening in Japan. Okay, so this card doesn't even exist in America.
Okay, so it's a Japanese comic contest card.
Yes.
Al's going with $23,000.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the Pokemon people, they're kind of out there. They have some extra bucks. If you got dudes spending 100 G's on Transformers phone apps, I'm going to say...
quit looking at me!
I'm going to say... I don't think it's over 200 grand. I'll say $111,500.
It sold for $195,000.
Damn.
So James
close.
Wins this round. Yeah. He was closer.
I'm going to come on down. I'm going to come on down.
Come on down.
No, I totally ruined. There we go.
Take a lap. There we are. Nice jump. So there you go.
Okay.
That's the most expensive Pokemon. That was fun. Most expensive Pokemon card. Jay Moore in the thing thought it was first. It said a first edition Charizard is around 10K mint. So he was guessing about 100K.
Mm.
That's amazing.
See, I didn't know. I wanted to get guessing the hundreds, but yeah. Knowing nothing about it, I was like, man, I don't know. I don't know a card.
Right.
You know, I knew it was in the, obviously, it was going to be
okay.
Way
so,
more money than I would ever have to spend on a car.
Right.
You know, like.
Okay, so I've been ranting and raving to you guys for weeks now about the new X-Men books.
Yes.
I absolutely love them. They did a 12-issue miniseries called House of X and Powers of Ten to set up the status quo. And now we're into the single issues. The first issue of X-Men was 3 weeks ago. Then the Marauders book was last week. This week is Excalibur. They're all great. In fact, I'm listening to a podcast while I'm driving in my car this last couple of days with Jonathan Hickman talking about putting it together and all the nuts and bolts of it and whatever like that. There was a panel in the last House of X book where they're having a big celebration on the island where all the mutants live now. And you get to see all these different characters from the X-Men that have come back to life. And they're all having... you know, beers and having a good time. And there was
I'm picturing Fantasy Island, but instead of that little midget
kinda,
guy.
Right.
Like, is his name Toad from the comics?
From the, yeah.
Like, look, they're playing. I'm just picturing all these characters. You guys like Cyclops with some crazy sunglasses coming out. Like.
Yeah, so there was a panel that had Wolverine and Cyclops and Jean in it. And that, you know, for years has been the love triangle. Wolverine loves Jean, and Scott are a couple, whole thing. In this panel, Wolverine is in the middle of the two of them, and he's got his arms over each of their shoulders, and they all look like they're enjoying each other's company and having a good time. Fast forward about 2 weeks to X-Men number one, and there is a sequence in it where you find out that the Summers family, which is Scott Summers, Cyclops, Havoc, Alex Summers, Vulcan, who was the third Summers brother that died years ago and has been resurrected, as well as Rachel, his daughter from the Days of Future Past timeline, Cable, who
so
is
Cable?
His son, they all have a community house on the moon. It's the Summers house kind of thing.
Sounds like a house from hell. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, they have...
living it on the moon with all these family members?
Right, well, they have like a barbecue to celebrate everybody being alive at the same time kind of thing. And at this barbecue, Jean Grey is there, and Wolverine is there as well. And one of the things that's really cool about these particular X-Men books now is that there'll be these infographics that'll give you, you know, statistics about, you know, the mutants and the population and what's going on and everything like that. And the infographic in this particular book showed the floor plan for the Summers house. And it has 9 bedrooms. And the thing that everybody focused on, it this cracks me up completely, is that the room for Jean, Wolverine, and Cyclops are all down the same hallway, and they're the only rooms that have doors that connect the two rooms together.
They're swinging.
Yeah.
A little Jean Grey swap.
It's the implication that the love triangle is over, and now they're just a polyamorous triad.
So we all know that Cyclops obviously is the cook. Then
Wolverine's
the bull. He brings Wolverine in to come pleasure Jean Grey because he's inadequate. He stays there and cries. You know, he cries through his sunglasses because he can't take them off because he'll end up roasting everybody.
Right?
And wow, I never would have thought Cyclops would be a cook. You know, he's the leader of the blue team on the X-Men. Right?
The leader of the blue team. In that particular, when given that criteria, you're like, well, he must be right.
Yeah, I mean.
I tend to think that it is literally just a polyamorous triad. Like, even when Jean's not around, Wolverine and Cyclops are probably making out.
Could be.
Yeah.
So
wouldn't shock me.
But the other things happened in that issue. They established what the new villains are going to be, which is it's essentially going to be mutants versus humans. Humans trying to create the Sentinel program and stuff like that. And every time they make any forward momentum whatsoever is when the mutants, the X-Men, are going to show up and just, like, trash the place.
Because
every time you make Sentinel robots, they hunt mutants. So no, we're not going to let you get that far. Like I said, other things happen in the book. The only thing everyone who read the book focused on was that floor plan.
Well, yeah, I feel like the whole world, the whole society now is just so obsessed with sex and like the gossip of things. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's all I would probably focus on, too, because I'm like, ooh, I wouldn't mind. I'd watch a Wolverine banging Jean Grey video on the internet if I was bored.
Oh, man.
I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of funny. Wolverine's and I still,
a bull.
Like I said, I'm still a greatly.
A 4'2" bull.
I'm greatly enjoying the X-Men books themselves, no matter who's having sex with who.
And plus with it being called the House of X, to me, that's like where you would go to do ecstasy and have people like rub on you and touch on you in weird ways.
Now, if it's a House of Triple X.
There you go.
Right.
There's our X-Men themed porno. Amateur porn we're going to shoot.
Somewhere in the next 12 months, somebody's going to have that up. That's all I got for this week, fellas. I think, oh, you know what? No, I had one more thing I wanted to tell you guys about. Because I was telling Al about this the other day. He came in while I was doing the overnight, and I had my Nintendo Switch, and I'm just, you know, playing a game between, you know, talking on the radio, playing songs or whatever like that. And you heard the game I was playing. It was like, is that you playing the Nintendo game or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
So about a month ago, there was this article that I read on Kotaku, ironically enough, which we talked about earlier in
having tacos today, by the way.
Lots of tacos.
Just sounds too much like taco.
That independent game publishers that are putting their games on the Switch are finding out that with the way the eShop is set up, when you release your game, it goes on the front page of like new releases, something like that. But then after the first week, it leaves the new releases stuff, and they're getting lost in the shuffle because there's so many independent games to find on the Switch. So they figured out how to game the system by sticking your game on sale for like 98% off. Because people will see it on the great deals, and then, you know, it's like a dollar or even some of the, like the game that Al came in and was like, what are you playing? It was like 9 cents on the eShop.
But they're making money, or they're just getting exposure for the game?
You're getting exposure for the game when you make it that cheap. A bunch of people buy it, and then they try and check it out. And if it's, you know, if they like the game, then word of mouth.
You're going to get some sales with
once it goes back to whatever the price is, you'll, you know, make your money back.
But it might still live on that bestseller list for a little while when it goes back to its original price.
Right, that's
you're
the kinda, thing.
I mean, that's really, that's like...
You
could budget that at like advertising cost.
Yeah, you drop it to like 10 cents and a bunch of people buy it over the weekend, and now it lives on the bestseller page for X amount of time.
Because now they've sold 100 downloads.
Right.
Like, oh man, 100 people have checked this out.
Right.
It just came out. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll give it a whirl for 10 bucks.
Right, but it's a neat, you know, way. Like I said, I bought this game. What was it called? I think I wrote it down somewhere.
Write down the name of the game you bought.
Yeah, well, I knew I wanted to tell you about it.
Oh, okay. I guess that makes more sense.
It's called Revenge of the Bird King, and it's just an independent game. It's essentially like a Mega Man knockoff. You're playing this bald eagle that's side scrolling across the thing, and you can you've got this giant machete that you can whack the enemies with, and then you can throw out these seeds that grow these guns for you that you can, and then he's walking around with a giant, you know, revolver. That you're shooting stuff with.
People thought I was crazy when I said I play a game where you play a cup that shoots beads from his
right.
finger.
But yeah, I've bought, now it's become a weekly thing. I'll check the eShop and like, what's the game that's less than a dollar that looks the most appealing?
Like a bargain hunter for video games.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should just do like a YouTube channel where you do that.
I guess so.
I think every week you should be like, you explain the theory behind it a little bit, and then you go into like... Let's see what games are super cheap on the indie charts right now.
You guys let us know on our social media.
And that's interesting because we do have a YouTube channel. Just subscribe to Nerd Radio 101 on YouTube.
You can subscribe on YouTube. James has put up a whole bunch of clips and our shows from when we started in here in Checkpoint XP Studios. And Al has been super busy sharing our audiograms on the Nerd Radio social media. So I appreciate that you guys are pitching in.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we're not doing much for the actual shows themselves.
Anyone else want to do their jobs today?
I know, you guys are real quiet. You just thinking about tacos today? What's going on?
I'm really, really, yeah.
I think we broke Al. I don't know. I think Al's broken this week. I hope it wasn't all the comments between the segments earlier, because now I'm going to feel bad.
No, we're good.
But as I was trying to like skirt it and change topics, we just kept going right back into it.
Steer right into the propeller.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's Nerd Radio, fellas. Al, I hope you have a fantastic birthday.
Oh, well, thank you.
Happy birthday, Al.
Thank you.
James, I hope you have a great weekend. I'm going to have a good weekend. I'm going.
Jay Moore, I'm sorry I yelled at you.
That's nice. I'm going down to YumaCon this weekend, so if you're down there, I still don't really have a costume idea. So I don't need, you know.
So lots of stories for the next week's podcast, then.
I expect I'll have some fun stuff to talk about. So if you're going to be down at YumaCon this weekend, I don't know. Come find me.
Got any interviews or anything lined up?
I don't.
No?
No, I'm a slacker.
Gotcha.
So hopefully.
They have guests?
They do. Yeah, they've got some.
Mostly anime related?
Anime voice actors, some cosplayers, some video game voice actors and stuff like that. So we'll see. We'll see who I get to see while I'm down there. Basically, I'm just going to hang out in the video game room.
Cool. Sounds like a good spot to be.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for on Twitch. Thanks for downloading us. If you're downloading the podcast, make sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, peeps.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Have a great weekend.
See you later, nerds.
And we're out.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No.
Anything you want to share with the Twitch viewers?
Absolutely not.
It's Al's birthday.
No, it is. Yeah.
Oh,
it's Al's birthday. Everybody send Al nudes.
He's just saying that because I blocked him.
Yeah, he wouldn't accept any of my nudes.
I'm sending nudes.
He's trying to send us some ghosty shots this morning before I got in the shower.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, they were all very artsy. I will give you credit there.
Well, yeah, because I used the black and white filter.
So
course.
He did see them.
The black and white filter.
That's all you have to do. You take a sleazy photo, you make it artsy by turning it black and white. I thought everybody knew that.
Yeah.
Jay Moore says he's literally only here because of James. We appreciate that, Jay.
Thanks, Pepsi Man.
Yeah.
Glad you're here. Really helping the self-esteem in the room. I'm going to get an ego boost.
Oh, my God. Can we finish this show before I really do get depressed? It's birthday, Jay Moore. Fuck you. Jesus.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.